What's up, you guys? I'm Andrea.
And I'm Haley.
And you're listening to Inhuman, a true crime podcast. Welcome back, everybody. I realized while I was waiting for Haley to get set up for recording tonight that we both did cover a case, a missing persons case from Alabama this week.
Oh.
Yeah. So my case is from Montgomery, Alabama, and yours was from Greenville,
yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, that's weird. Yeah. Like, something's going on in Alabama.
Apparently. So
shout out to our Alabama listeners.
Yeah.
You may know this case. You may not. It did get some decent national coverage. It was featured on some some shows like Nancy Grace and like that. But I had never heard of this case, which, I mean, doesn't really mean that much, you know, as far as like, we don't know every single case in the true crime space, but I wanted to share it for that reason because I had never heard of it. And there's a chance that a lot of you haven't either.
Especially when it's a missing persons case, like you can never get enough awareness for those.
Right. And it's been over 25 years since this young woman went missing. So today I'm going to be sharing with you the disappearance of Kimberly Arrington. Kimberly Nicole Arrington was born on May 23rd, 1982 in Montgomery, Alabama, to her parents, Walter and Shirley. Also, don't make fun of the way I say Montgomery. I just can't say it any other way.
No judgment.
Kimberly, who preferred to go by Kim, was the middle sibling of five children, and she and her siblings were always incredibly close. They were a very tight-knit family. They loved spending time together. They loved being around each other. They loved doing things together. And they just enjoyed each other's company. Kim's father, Walter, described her as being well-behaved, friendly, and well-liked by her peers. He said his daughter loved music and dancing, and she was really into learning about computers, which I feel like for that time period, like mid to late 90s, was like up and coming, and you know, a lot of kids were curious about that, I feel like.
Yeah, and I feel like that's so like such a cool thing for people to have been interested in in that time,
like a whole and new she world
was, like a teenager, right? So like that's like impressive that she was interested in that kind of thing, like and because I feel like that's us being interested in like, I can't even think of something, but like some like AI or like some crazy like technology,
like the newest iPhone or the newest gadget,
something like you don't know how to use, like that's so cool.
Yeah, it is. And it was, you know, just such uncharted territory, I feel like.
Right.
Kim's friends described her as someone who was always happy and in a good mood and easy to be around. And the general consensus was that she was just very friendly and very trusting, which is why, you know, they'll say later that they believe that she was abducted because of how kind her nature was to want to help people. As a child and into her teenage years, Kim suffered from severe allergies, so she preferred to stay indoors most of the time, which included playing, watching TV, and reading. In 1998, Kim was 16 years old and a sophomore at Jefferson Davis High School in Montgomery County. Kim loved little kids, and she would frequently babysit children in her neighborhood to earn herself some extra spending money.
Aww.
So, yeah, I thought that was sweet. Even though she had, like, younger siblings, she still loved kids and, like, wanted to babysit and, you know, earn some cash, some shopping money.
And I feel like it's different with, like, other people's kids compared to, like, your siblings. Your siblings, you're like, oh, you're, like, annoying. But other people's, like, babies or kids, you're like, oh, my gosh, so cute.
They're so cute. Yeah. On October 30th, 1998, Kim told her mother, Shirley, she wanted to walk down to the local CVS to pick up some candy and soda. I tried so hard to find out what the distance was from her house to the CVS, and I could not for the life of me figure out, like, there was no articles that mentioned it. But from what I could gather, it wasn't too far. It was a short walk and easily walking distance from her home.
Yeah, it seems like it's something she would do, like, regularly. So it couldn't have been too far of a distance.
Right, yeah. She promised her parents she would not be gone long, and she even asked her younger sister, Jennifer, to walk with her, but Jennifer, for whatever reason, didn't end up going. So between 4 and 5 p.m., Kim made the trip to CVS on her own. So at this point, she's 16. That is completely normal for a teenager to walk down to the store to get some snacks. And especially like 1998, you know, there was no Uber. Like, she's 16, so she probably didn't have her license yet. So,
and like walking. 16 years old, that's not like, I wouldn't even consider that like young to do something like walk down to the store. Like,
oh my gosh, yeah. We used to walk, which I had I had a very strict mother, so I wasn't allowed to walk to the store, but you bet your ass I did anyway. I can remember being like 13 and walking an god-awful distance to the store to get candy. Like, not even kidding. I can remember that. Like, that's hot so as balls in the middle of the summer, trucking down to the whatever. I'm not going to say it because it might give away where I live. But
yeah, I feel like, you know, like, 12, 13, even like 14 years old, I might be like, okay, maybe that's a little young to like go do that yourself. But right. 16, I wouldn't even like question that.
Right. Especially in those days. I feel like now I'd be a little more apprehensive. I'd be like, I'm driving you.
But now, like, anywhere, ever. Yeah. Now I'm like never letting my child do anything alone ever.
Ever. Like, even as an adult, you're not going anywhere alone. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. But especially back in those days.
Scary. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes when I don't feel like reading or watching TV, I just want to sit back and play a fun game on my phone. And I recently started playing June's Journey, and when I tell you I'm loving it, that is an understatement. I'm already on the fourth chapter, and I've only been playing for a few days. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game, and I love it because it brings out my inner detective. You play as June Parker in the 1920s trying to solve her sister's murder. It's so much fun to travel the world of the 20s looking for clues that are indicating that June's family has some dark secrets. You also get to create and decorate your own estate island, which I loved because it made me feel really fancy and important. In my last chapter, I discovered a big family secret and there was an unexpected death, but I won't ruin it for you. You can discover your inner detective and play yourself by downloading June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. You can find the link to download June's Journey for free in the show notes of this episode.
So by 5:45 p.m., when Kim hadn't returned home, understandably, her parents grew concerned.
Yeah.
Kim was extremely responsible, and if she told her parents she was going to CVS and then coming straight home, then that's exactly what she was planning to do. And she kind of had a history of calling her parents if anything changed, and she never called them, so they knew something was wrong.
So you already know that your daughter is, like, responsible, on top of things, wouldn't just, like, not come home. Two, right. If she was gonna not come home, she would call and tell you.
Right.
And she has done that in the past, so you know for sure. You're not just saying, like, oh, well, I bet she would call. Like, you know
she would.
She would. And three, it's not like she was gonna be gone for a long time. So her being gone, it's not like she was, like, going somewhere a lot further or, you know, doing something that could have had, like, a variable amount of time. Like, she was going to the store and coming back.
Coming right back, yeah. And it sounds like, you know, by 45 minutes to an hour, they're like, okay, that was enough time for her to walk there, get what she needed, and walk back, and she's not home yet. So
right,
let's figure out what's going on.
Okay. Please don't tell me that police didn't said she ran away. No.
Oh. Unfortunately, that is exactly what happens. So her parents decide, you know, I feel like a lot of parents, I don't know what I would do in this situation, but to not maybe jump the gun, they decided to search for her themselves just to kind of see, like, hey, is she, you know, walking? Is she hurt? Is she, you know, whatever. So they're right.
Like, did something happen that might have prevented her from, like, making a call or coming home?
Right. So they searched for her, and after about 3 hours, I think, total of searching for Kim themselves with no results, her parents reported her missing. So to answer your question, initially the Montgomery County Police treated Kim as a runaway because of her age. It's the only reason. She had no history of running away. She had no reason to run away. She had a great home life from all accounts, and she was very close with her parents and her siblings, which I know that can still happen, that might be the circumstances, but
even so, yeah. Why are we thinking a 16-year-old is going to run away? Like, you can't just say, oh, she's 16, so she's going to run away. Like,
well, there's another. So, yes, I agree with you there. And also, one of the investigators on the case later would say, and this is so ignorant, so I'm not even going to quote him or say his name, but he said that basically because she was 16, it was unlikely that she would get abducted because usually those kind of people abduct younger children.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you at all.
Oh. Nope.
An actual investigator.
Wow.
On her case. Yeah. I was like,
come on, people.
If you think that, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
It's still ignorant. But to say it in an interview for a newspaper, yeah. Absolutely unacceptable, because that is not the reality.
No.
People of all, especially women of all ages, get abducted and trafficked.
Yeah. No, that's, yeah, and it's not just abductions. It could be trafficking, and that's not, I mean, yes, it also happens with kids, but like that more often, not, well, I don't know if it's more often, but that often happens with older women, and she is still a child. She is 16 years old.
She's 16. She's almost technically an adult by the standards of 18, but she's still very much a child.
Yeah.
She's in 10th grade.
Even if you're going off the legal definition of an adult, she is a child. Like,
mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's bad enough that, like, they were not looking at any of the other factors, like the fact that this was not like her. She was responsible. She had no reason to run away. She had a good home life. Like, nobody thought she would. But now they're saying, like, oh, well, we think she ran away just because she's 16 years old. And that probably means she wasn't abducted because she wasn't young enough. Like,
yeah. Like, there's literally no other rational explanation except for she ran away.
How about
she was a cute, petite 16-year-old girl who was abducted for whatever the purpose of abducting her was. That's what I believe happened.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And
yeah,
the fact that they didn't even consider that at first and just automatically went to saying she ran away. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we've seen cases before where they've said that, and it's like the child maybe does have not even a history of running away, but like
maybe, you know, some home life issues.
Yeah, like there's different factors where you're like, you still shouldn't have jumped to that if the family is saying that's not what happened. But okay, maybe there's a couple factors, but this is like, there is literally nothing. There is nothing. No,
absolutely
reason.
Nothing. Nope.
Oh, that makes me so mad.
But luckily, despite this, investigators do canvass the area between Kim's home and the CVS in search of anything that would give them insight into what happened to her. None of Kim's belongings, such as her purse or jacket, were ever located, and they found no indication of a struggle. Police told the Arringtons that their daughter was likely out with friends and had lost track of time, that she would probably show up later that evening. But she did not.
And you didn't. She wasn't going out with friends.
No.
She was going down to the store.
And she, like, she had the severe allergy. So she probably, I mean, it was, you know, late October. So a lot of that allergy type stuff. Well, I don't know. It's Alabama. So the weather is probably similar to here. And it's freaking 90 degrees today, I swear. But, you know, maybe the allergies were not as prevalent, or the allergens weren't as prevalent that time of year, so she felt comfortable enough to walk. But chances are she's not going to walk anywhere else and go meet up with friends and be hanging out outside if she's got this severe allergy issue. Yeah. You know, I don't know. It doesn't make sense.
No, there's just too much to make you question the fact that she was quote unquote running away or just out with friends.
Yeah. So contrary to what police were telling them, Walter and Shirley knew their daughter, and they believed that she had been abducted.
Yeah.
They begged the police to reconsider their theory and search for their daughter again. And I will give them credit. They did re-canvass the area. They interviewed witnesses. They spoke to the employees at the CVS. So it sounds like once they started to get a better idea of the situation, they did step up and they did do good investigating.
Well, that's good at least.
But it just sucks that they, you know, potentially lost some time in the beginning.
Even just a couple of hours of time, like, that could give somebody the chance to, like, get out of the area.
Right.
Whereas had they searched right away, you don't know. Like, they might have been able to find her.
Something, yeah. Unfortunately, there were no credible witnesses that came forward, and there was no surveillance footage available from the CVS or anywhere around the perimeter of the CVS for police to review.
And this was 98, right?
98, yeah.
Okay, so, like, it makes sense that there wasn't, like,
tons of
surveillance. Yeah,
like there is these days. So no one even knows for sure that Kim ever even made it to the CVS that evening. There's just one saw anything. It's kind of wild to me that no one saw anything. But again, I don't know the neighborhood. It could have been a very quiet neighborhood. Not a lot of people out.
Yeah.
It's late October. It could have been cold out. And people just weren't out and about.
Yeah. And like, if you're not looking for something, it's very easy to like not pay attention. Or like, like somebody might have seen her, but just, you know, obviously not seen something bad happen, but just seen her like walking. But wouldn't have thought anything of it because it was just a girl walking. Like, that's just normal. So,
or if she knew the person and maybe willingly got into the car with them,
it wouldn't look suspicious.
It wouldn't look suspicious at all.
If the person had a knife or a gun and was subtly holding it, it could look like totally inconspicuous getting into the car. Like, again, nothing to be concerned about.
Right. So as the investigation continued, police interviewed known sex offenders in the area, and they continued to look into tips and rumors because there was a lot of rumors pouring in. I don't know why, because, I mean, she was just an innocent young girl. I mean, she kept to herself. She wasn't, you know, a troublemaker. She didn't hang out with the wrong kids. Like, there's really no reason for like these crazy rumors, and I'm not even going to delve into them just because it's not even worth it.
Yeah.
Cuz it does, I think, give people a negative context around her disappearance, even though there's no it's not proven. Like, none of the stuff that has been said has been proven at all.
I feel like people just want answers and want, like, explanations to things. So they come up with all these crazy things. Or, like you said, people want, like, attention and want to, like, be like, oh, I know what happened. It was this.
Make it,
like,
all salacious.
Yeah. And it's like, come on, this is a missing young girl. Like,
I know.
Let's not make it harder to figure out what happened to her by making stuff up.
Right. But despite all police efforts, a suspect was never located, and Kim was never seen or heard from again.
Oh, my gosh.
About a year after Kim's disappearance, the the Montgomery County Police asked the FBI to assist on the case. The FBI found nothing to indicate foul play, but they do not believe Kim left voluntarily.
Okay. Yeah. I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Kim's disappearance was also featured nationally on shows like Nancy Grace and Maury. If you guys know that show, that's a shout out to the 90s. Maybe not the, you know, the best show but to it's be still, on, but still it's still good coverage. Eyeballs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of eyeballs, especially in the, in the, in the late 90s.
Yeah.
So she definitely got some, some pretty decent. I mean, Nancy Grace, I feel like that's huge. I mean, she's a an interesting lady, but
yeah, but again, it's a lot of eyeballs. Yeah, it's a lot of people paying attention and watching and learning about this person,
right? And that's what's important.
Yeah,
but unfortunately, even though she was featured on these, these types of shows, nothing led anywhere.
Of course.
Investigators were unable to obtain Kim's DNA, so they collected DNA samples from Walter and Jennifer, Kim's younger sister, and the samples were submitted to the national database, and they are available for comparison with any unidentified bodies matching Kim's description.
Okay, well, that's good at least.
Yeah. Although her family has held on to the hope that Kim is still alive, they have prepared themselves for the possibility that she is deceased. In 2010, when asked what he thinks happened to his daughter, Walter stated he believes someone saw Kim walking that day, maybe asked her for directions or something along those lines, and when she got close enough, they forced her into their car.
Yeah.
Walter said, quote, "Most people liked her, and she was very friendly towards everyone. I felt like maybe that's part of the reason why they got her."
Yeah, like they could have just preyed on that and, you know, said, "Oh, can you help me out? Tell me how to get to XYZ." And then she got close to the car, and then they like pulled out a knife and said, "Get in, yeah, or I'm going to hurt you." Like,
yeah, because, I mean, you're taught not to, not to cause a bigger issue in those kind of situations, because if you comply, then it's more likely you'll get away. If you fight, then it's, right, you're going to get hurt. And that, yes, that is a reality. But I mean, I, you know, I don't know if something terrible is going to happen to you anyway, maybe just fight for your life. But that's not everyone's personality, and that's not everyone's snap judgment in that kind of situation. Like, yeah, you just want to be safe and protect yourself, and you're going to comply with them and just go with them, yeah, in hopes that by doing so, you will be safe.
And so, she was 16, so she doesn't know, yeah, any better. And then also, right, like, I feel like it's become more and more talked about that, like, oh, you should, like, make a scene and whatever. But that, I feel like in the late 90s, that wasn't quite the same sentiment.
Right. Captain Keith Barnett of the Montgomery County Police Department, and I believe that he has since retired, but he stated that Kim's case will never be closed until she is located one way or another.
Good.
When asked if he felt like time was wasted in those crucial hours after a child disappears, when they had assumed Kim was a runaway, Captain Barnett stated, quote, "Unfortunately, at the initial time of the report, we had no information or evidence from anyone, including the parents, that pointed at foul play being involved. There was a 2 to 3 hour delay when Arrington's parents reported her missing because they had gone looking for her on their own. So no, I do not feel that any vital leads were missed because all the proper actions were taken as soon as it looked as if things might be more than a runaway."
I don't know how I feel about that.
I know. I was like, I wanted to include it though, because I do feel like it, it is a perfect little summary of the case.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it, I mean, like, yes, okay, maybe the first couple of hours wouldn't have been different because she wasn't like officially reported missing yet, but like something could have delayed the person and they might have not gotten out of the area right away, or they might have not done whatever they did. And so right. had it been taken seriously as a missing person immediately instead of it taking a little while, who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the hard part. It's like, who knows? Who knows? Despite over 25 years without news, Kim's family has not given up hope. Walter, her dad, still waits for her to come home. He recalled how the night Kim went missing, he was getting ready to leave for work. Even though it was October, he remembered Kim was already looking forward to Christmas. So she was kind of, you know, hinting at some things that she wanted. And she was also like getting excited because he was going to take her shopping so she could buy Christmas gifts for like her friends and family. Aww. So that to me also says that she didn't run away. Like, she was making these plans for Christmas to like be home with her family. In an interview, Walter said, quote, "I can hear her talking and see her talking from that day now. And I can't go on any further because I'm at a standstill until I find out what happened to her. It's something that I carry with me every day." Her sister Jennifer, who was 14 years old when she went missing, stated not knowing what happened to her older sister is the hardest part. It's just like the unknowing.
Yeah. There's just no answers. There's no closure.
Yeah, I know. That would be the hardest part for me. It's like, obviously you don't want your loved one to be passed on, but just having that closure is so important, and it allows you to heal, you know. Yeah. Right now, like her dad said, they're just literally at a standstill.
Yeah, like not being able to, I mean, even if you assume that she's no longer alive, it's still like, if you don't have answers, you can't fully accept that, and you can't lay her to rest. And so
right.
even getting that closure is impossible without knowing.
Yep. Jennifer believes her sister may have been picked up by a human trafficker, and that she may be living somewhere else now today, alive and well, and just may not know how to get back home or even know where she came from. Jennifer has lived with the guilt of not accompanying her sister to the CVS that day and feels she may not have gone missing had she just walked with her. And I just want to say, do not hold that guilt over yourself, because number one, you may have been kidnapped as well. Mm-hmm. She could have been kidnapped as well. And her being there likely would not have prevented it.
Yeah, no, you can't. I know it's difficult, but you can't hang on to those unknowns. You can't blame yourself for not doing something. Like, there was no reason to believe that anything like this would have happened. And I mean, of course, right. hindsight is 20/20, but
always.
No, there's no reason to feel guilty.
I know. And I know it's easier said than done, but I do pray that she is able to move on from that guilt.
Yeah.
In 2004, Jennifer had a little girl whom she named Kimberly after her missing sister, which is
Aww.
Just like the sweetest and most heartbreaking thing all at once, because that little girl is now 19 years old and she has never met her namesake. And that's just so sad. Unfortunately, in 2005, Kim's mother, Shirley, passed away due to illness. So she never got to see her daughter's case come to a conclusion. But on her deathbed, she made her husband promise that he would never stop looking for their daughter, and he has not.
Oh, my gosh. How heartbreaking that must be. Like, just knowing, going your whole life not knowing.
I know. In 2015, the Arrington family participated in Alabama's first ever Missing Persons Day, where law enforcement underwent training and counseling for families of missing persons was offered. The event was coordinated by the Alabama Attorney General's Office, the Montgomery County District Attorney's Office, and the National Missing and Unidentified Persons System. At that time, around 170 people were missing in the state of Alabama. Today, that number has nearly doubled.
My gosh.
While Kim's case may feel hopeless with no leads, no suspects, and no evidence, I believe her case can be solved. her family can get the closure they've been looking forward to for 25 years because someone out there knows something and it's time to step up and do the right thing.
Abso-freaking-lutely.
Kimberly Arrington is a Black female with black hair and brown eyes. She has a small surgical scar on the left side of her abdomen and her ears are pierced. At the time of her disappearance, she was between 5'2" and 5'4" tall and weighed approximately 110 pounds. Kim was last seen wearing a gray Bugle Boy shirt with a collar, light blue Levi jeans, white Reebok sneakers with gray trim, an emerald ring with two diamonds on each side, and a double heart ring set with a diamond. Kim also went by the names Kimberly and Kiwi.
Aww.
I know. I was like, that's so cute. Anyone with any information about Kimberly's case is urged to contact Montgomery detectives at 334-241-2651, or you can contact the Center for Missing and Exploited Children at 1-800-THE-LOST. And I will have both of these numbers linked in the show notes. But that is the disappearance of Kimberly Arrington from Montgomery, Alabama. And it's just so sad that...
It's like another case like the one I covered on Monday of Sherry Lynn Marler, where she just like vanished into thin air and there's just no answers because there's no leads. Like there's just nothing to go off of.
I know. And actually, I guess Sherry's family was at the Missing Persons Day in Montgomery.
Aww.
with Kim's family. Aww. I saw a quote from her mother in one of the articles that I read. Aww. And at the time, I didn't connect the dots. But yeah. Then when I was like looking at our cases from the week, and I was like, I remember that name. And I was like, oh, wait, she was in Alabama too. And that's when I like started connecting the dots and I was like, wow, we're both covering cases from Alabama this week. Like what a quinky dink.
And I feel like they both can be solved. Like you said, somebody out there knows something and you never know. Hopefully one day there will be a deathbed confession or just anything.
Clear your conscience, man. Like,
yeah.
Even if it's on, especially if it's on your deathbed, because I mean, depending on what you think happens, you know, after you kick the bucket, you might want to get that off your conscience.
Yeah, like just be a good person for a half second before you die.
Yeah, that's all it takes.
Oh, wow.
But that is all I have for you guys today. Thank you guys so much for listening. Don't forget to leave us a rating review wherever you listen, if you're able to do so. We will have a brand new case for you guys on Monday. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. And until then, keep it human.
Bye, guys.